When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, so. Ooh. Oh, God. All right, Mr. Brown, let's get your act together.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Oh, right, that I sort of turned my sheep up there, Luce.
That's not a sentence you hear often.
No, they were very low, my sheep bleats. Folks, this is Dum-de-dum, the show, but the reality docudrama that are centred at Ambridge in the heart of the place in Britain I love the most, the Midlands. I'm the risk assessment that is Royfield Branhall, and with me I have the flammable nightmare that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Linda's Barn production, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dum-de-dum features Mia and Jane and the other participants of the Newcastle meetup. Oh yes, Newcastle even gets to the northeast, folks. Newcastle? Sorry, Dum-de-dum even gets to the northeast, folks. Now, Lucy, if one or any of our listeners would like to send us in a Dum-de-dum or become a caller in, how can they do that?
If you would like to leave us your thoughts, a Dum-de-dum or a plot prediction, or blow up a toaster with a Pop-Tart that is designed to go in a toaster, leave us a message on SpeakPipe via dumdydum.com. I called it SpeakPike then. I meant SpeakPipe. Or call us on 02030313105. This week we need to thank Shambridge for her amazing voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, from whom we hear later. No, we don't. Mike Hatton for his character counts, Cosmo for his episode roundups, and to Derek for in the back bedroom. It's the Christmas tree festival in the church this week. Derek entered a tree, but he didn't win, and it took him ages to get all the pine needles out.
Yay! Well done, you. Now, on this week's show, folks, we have calls from New York. I love New York, Nigel.
I know. He's lovely.
I really do. Yeah. Proper, genuine love I have for you, New York, Nigel. Witherspoon, Kitty, and Master Niles. But first, folks, before all of that goodness, it's our Luce and a week in Ambridge. And I'm furiously trying to find the week in Ambridge. Oh, no, I've got it. It's right at the start. It was right at the beginning of the list.
We began the week with Hootie Jill, sat crying in front of the television at Rickyard, watching a film about a family that clears off and leaves someone on their own for a peaceful Christmas, wondering how the hell she could get shot of her lot. No, she wasn't. I'm being silly. How could it be the best Christmas ever with the best Christmas lunch ever after they've all watched the best Christmas show ever if they all cleared off? Well, all of them that aren't senile, in prison, undergoing savage divorce proceedings, or depressed. Anyway, what are you doing?
Me?
Yes.
I was just stretching, making myself more comfortable on the bed.
It sounded like you were eating Quality Street or something. That's what lots of things were being unwrapped.
It's not Christmas Day yet. That only ever happens on Christmas Day.
When you have it for breakfast, as is tradition. Mm-hmm. Oh, the scriptwriters are teasing us with these home farm buyers called Gil, apparently. Guildford? Gil Sams? Gilmarillion? Oh, I give up. I'm refusing to play. Phoebe came back from Oxford and immediately started sticking her oar in. Roy was apparently locked in his room watching his Hitchcock collection. Well, they saw the word cock on the DVD, so what else could it be? And crying about Lexi. Phoebe banged on his door. Dad, you know that woman who dumped you is now studiously avoiding you while having a baby for someone else and planning to return to another country? Why not ask her to marry you? It's the ideal time. Harassment and Kirsty spent the week trying to find a massive arse. Surely there are enough arses in Ambridge not to need to fabricate an entirely new one. William Grundy alone is at least one buttock's worth. Brian's mood sank to a new low once he realised his Christmas day would consist of Kate insisting everyone ate vegan stuffing balls while pulling fair trade crackers and reading out inspirational statements and playing interpretive dance charades. Brian's son, Bertie Wooster, who'll be reading out all the bits of his Jeremy Clarkson book that he can manage, and Jennifer, who will by that time have worked herself up into such a state of hysteria, she'll be pissed on cooking sherry by 9:30 and weeping by 11. William spiralled into a panic as Martin Gibson asked him to decorate a Christmas tree, the bastard. I'm going to decorate it with my dead wife's haunted scarf, some pheasant skulls and some police warning tape. It'll be the best Christmas tree ever. Elizabeth this week was played by a pair of high-heeled boots running backwards and forwards. It's all very weird at Lower Loxley and getting weirder by the minute. Elizabeth began the week snotting into tissues and then she decided she felt better and started running. She doesn't seem to stop running at all, apart from when she falls asleep with her head on the desk. Then Lily pokes her with a ruler and she wakes up and starts running again. Lily and Kenton got Glenn in to take over, but it wasn't immediately successful. They also have an ice sculptor called Topher, who I thought was a horse till I realised I meant Topper and he's dead. Topher tipped ice all over someone called Sadie's very lovely hand knits. This caused Elizabeth to run around in circles again like a sort of Duracell bunny having a nervous breakdown. Lily then suggested they put sheets up in between the stalls, making an English country Christmas fair with no booze look like a Brazilian favela. Helen is going to France on her own. We don't get to go away much, she said. Well, actually, Helen, I think you went away for quite a while, love. Tom panicked at the idea of Helen leaving the country in case something happened to her and he ended up having custody of Henry and persuaded Tony to go with her. But Tony feels queasy once he gets past little Croxley. So he chickened out on the grounds that Tom's new baby trees would need feeding. The Karate Kid then waded in and said that what Helen needed to do was breathe a lot and read books in cafes. The breathing I get, the whole trip would definitely be a washout if she stopped breathing at any point. But of all the people in the world to be a people watcher, Helen isn't it. She can't bloody sit still for a start. She'd be asking for low-fat, gluten-free croissant and hauling her luggage everywhere as she wouldn't trust anyone foreign to look after it for her. And if anyone looked at her twice, she'd karate chop them in the jugular. Like a fine wine, she doesn't travel well, so just leave her in the farm shop fiddling around with her fenugreek. And then the event that really means Christmas in Ambridge. I look forward to it every year. The whole village assembles together. There's a real sense of suspense. Children are excited. That wonderful and unexpected moment when Linda says, "Oh, you have been rehearsing. The costumes have come together. You do all know your lines. The show will be the best show ever." And so, as Tiny Tim very nearly observed, "God help us, everyone." The end.
Oh. That I enjoyed that so much more than last week. Though, Luce, I do apologise for not tittering and guffawing to my usual level because I'm just spent at the moment and I don't know why. However,
but you said to me before that you thought it was because you were now 50 and that within 24 hours you had aged like 2 years or something, 10 years.
Well, I'm on that slope down. I think definitely 49, 364 days was my peak. And right. I now know I've hit my peak and
it's
I'm on
downhill.
The way down. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Everything's just loose and flabby now.
Is
but
it?
Anyway, yeah.
Overnight, you just woke up.
Mm-hmm.
You went to bed looking like Denzel Washington and woke up looking like, what's that really old one? Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. Though I think your references for sexy black males needs to be updated. Shouldn't you be saying Idris Elba?
No, I can't even think about you going to bed as Idris Elba. It's too disturbing on a lot of levels, Royfield. No, I'm not
all
doing
right.
That.
So why don't we talk about the Archers then?
Well, actually, I have to do a thing first. In the week, I don't even know how this happened. As always, I never know how things happen. They just happen. Somebody was talking about the phonetic alphabet. And
Yes, I know where you're going with
Nina, who tweets as Moo's Mum Runs, said why don't we have an Ambridge phonetic alphabet? So I thought I would do one. So I've done it. So I'm going to read out now the Ambridge. So if you're on a 999 call and they say, what is the name or what is the registration plate of the car that has just been stolen and is being driven away at high speed in front of you?
Does this now mean that we need to put explicit next to this podcast on
iTunes?
No,
because it's an Archer's. It's not rude. It's just an Archer's.
No. I'm thinking of that.
No, we had the rude sweary one.
Yes. Sorry.
No, this is the Ambridge one. So you say to your 999 call handler, you say, pardon, excuse me a moment. Sorry to stop you. But do you listen to the Archer's? And if they say yes, then you give them this phonetic alphabet rather than the alpha for everyone. Right, you ready? Okay. Ambridge, Bunting, Culvert, Deposit, Eggs, Fat Paul, Gin, Hello You Two, IVF, Jilting, Kefir, Lemon Drizzle, Montbelliard, Nuts, Organic, Pusscat, Quinoa, Right You Are, Soup, Tabard, Underwoods, Varroa, White Goods, Yurt, and Zyder Club. I had to fiddle the last one because
Zyder Club?
Yes. Well, Joe's always going on about Zyder, so I thought, well, there we go. We have a Zyder Club. So there we are.
I quite enjoyed that phonetic alphabet this week. Well done.
So my, hang on. I'm trying to think what my number plate is. Eggs. Eggs, White Goods. Is it? No, it's not. Eggs, Tabard, 66. White Goods, Hello You Two. Right, you are. Yay! That is an excellent number plate.
Right. On that note, now can we talk about some real Archer stuff?
Yes, we can.
So where do you want to start? Because I've got a little bit of a head funk going on. Well, you talked about Jill wanting to make Christmas special, didn't you?
Yes.
Getting everybody over.
Yes. Which is, they're doing it again, aren't they? They're doing,
what,
they're
Christmas?
Doing, you know, yeah.
Doing Christmas
no,
again.
No, no, no. I mean, they always say, whenever there is an enormous family explosion brewing, they think that getting everybody together is going to solve it. When in actual fact, it's like saying, rather than staggering the fireworks, let's just chuck a match into the box while it's still in the shed. That's kind of what a family meal is like in Ambridge.
Now, you see, like, you and I view things so differently because I would say if there is a family explosion coming, you actually want to get the family together to talk about it.
But Elizabeth isn't going to want to talk about it. She's just quietly going bonkers by herself, isn't she?
Well, she is, isn't she?
She really is.
But then there's no kind of denying it then. If everyone's all together and they keep an eye on her and just see her general craziness while she's like pushing the Brussels sprouts around the plate.
Shula's going to be devastated because her boyfriend, Daniel, has gone to stay with her ex-husband, you know, and he hasn't really explained why he's done that. So she's going to be, you know, a bit wobbly lippy, isn't she? And then Elizabeth's mad. Fallon and Harrison aren't going, are they? Kenton has managed to row with everyone in the family this year. Josh and Ben dislike each other.
Have declared a truce for the last couple of years.
Yeah, but he pissed off Fallon, then he pissed off Lily. Didn't he? Because he was the one that shocked Russ.
Been there for his sister, Elizabeth. And he helped out Shula this year, picking out her best jeans or whatever the heck it was. Remember?
Her best cardi.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I still don't think it's a very good idea, personally.
Well, families getting together at Christmas is a bad idea, according to you.
No, I think it's a good idea. I just don't think when everything is quite as... This just, it's the expectation. This is going to be the best Christmas ever. It's that drives me bloody mad. It's
don't
like the fun fascism.
Jill, I don't think our Jill quite said that. Though I'm totally with
you. She
did.
She said this is going to be the best Christmas lunch ever.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she just meant the food, not the people. I don't know. And
there
anyway,
you go.
She's going to find out, isn't she, that Rosie's called Grace. And then the shit will hit the fan properly. Yep. And... I had a thought, you know.
Ooh.
You know, they said, just the one, you know, they said that these home farm buyers are called Gill.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's Gibson. Do you think it's Martin Gibson?
Could be.
Or they, because they're not going to just, they're not going to just suddenly bring in an entire new family. I'm sure they're not. Not when they can't cope with the amount, when they can't give the characters they've got enough airtime.
Well, it's never stopped them before introducing new characters, but a whole new family. And actually, if you think about it, when was the last time we actually got a new family lock, stock and barrel into the Archers? That's an EastEnders trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not an Archers
one. They suddenly
one.
Just appear, yeah.
Yeah, no. We get characters one by one in the Archers.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I can't see a new... No, I can't see a new whole family coming in. It's somebody we already know. And yeah, the closest I could get is Gibson. I just
want this whole selling home farm nonsense to end. I just want it to be Debbie. We have a nice little Christmas. Oh, I'll do this for you, Mum and Dad. You and, you know, Mum and Brian. Bish, bosh, bang, move on. Because, you know, it's just, for me, the Archers without Brian and Jennifer, inconceivable.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not going anywhere. So that's that. I'd go so far as to say I'd consider almost not listening.
No.
I love Brian.
I know.
If my opinion on one character has changed the most, it's actually been with him and just realizing how integral he is to the whole thing, how he's a great foil, a great counterpoint. Him and Jenny, an amazing couple with great range, the amount of storylines they've had. And as an actor, he's just like, the best on the show, I'd go so far as to say. You know, he's got the most amount of material to work with, admittedly.
Mm. Right, my favourite bit this week was when Jennifer's on the phone to Phoebe, who says, "Hello, Gran. I'm wondering if you could come and watch the lights go on around the green." And Jenny turns to Brian and says, "Oh, darling, it's Phoebe. She says, would we like to go and watch the lights go on the green?" And Brian actually went, "Oh, my God." There was like this growl. It was really brilliant. It was kind of, but it was a proper lowdown. I thought the men in the Archers are just, it's like they're like regressing to Neanderthal men and they're just going to be reduced to sort of grunts and strange noises soon. They're not going to need a script, just makes noise suggestive of whatever. And I did like David marching around doing his health and safety thing as well.
That was good. Yes, that was very good.
And Linda in conciliatory mode, which we don't often hear. But she was very conscious that if she overstepped the mark, she'd be absolutely buggered because not only has she got a rubbish show, she won't even have anywhere to do it. So she sort of hurriedly started making nice.
Their lines are off book already.
Of course they are. Yeah. I know.
I was somewhat surprised that we, like, Glenn. Is his name Glenn? The new?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Glenn. That Glenn is a silent.
Yeah. Well, so far.
He might be
chatting 10 to the dozen next week. Who knows?
But it makes no sense for them to introduce him and you don't hear his voice.
Well, it's because she's going to fire him immediately, isn't she? And then Lily's going to have to come back for good.
Or
I just can't
walk
stay
off.
Away, Russ, because Mum needs me.
Yeah, that's a very good Lily.
It's just the S. You just have to do the S, really sharp S.
Oh, you're so good at this stuff. Well done, you. Tell you who else is actually good at impressions. Is that Trevor Noah? Crumbs.
Yeah.
I was listening to him on the old Netflix the other day. The range of accents he does.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, him. But anyway, let's get back onto the Archers. So Lily, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is sick as well as mad. Helen and Lee. Now you're sounding like an Archer's male. Ugh.
Yeah. Channeling Brian. <Ugh. laughs> Well, I think two people as equally irritating as those two probably deserve each other. And we'll probably get on jolly well, I should think.
I know I display my inverted snobbery on many occasions.
Dan Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just a joke, isn't it? No one actually reads it, do they? Are we going to get lots of really cross Dan Brown people saying, actually, you don't have to read Dickens all the time. But it's just nonsense. I mean, it's like it was written by my son when he's not concentrating. That's sort of... And Helen is, she is sort of aspirational, but maybe she's just not intellectually aspirational, you know. So, but you'd think she'd know it was shite. I mean, she can't fancy him so much that she, nobody can fancy anybody enough to think that Dan Brown is a good writer. Nobody. It's impossible. Elizabeth Taylor didn't fancy Richard Burton enough to think that Dan Brown is a good writer. But anyway.
But I think you're coming at it all wrong. If you're into, literature of that ilk, it's not about the writer. It's because you've heard that the book is good. It's a rollicking good story.
Yeah.
It's not about covering and following that writer's output, is it?
Yeah.
Says me, who's got a copy of Spider-Man in my computer bag for me to read. You know, so...
At least you aren't going to colour it in. At least you're reading it. That's good.
So we have to talk about Natasha and Hannah and breakfast. You did mention the old Pop-Tarts and stuff.
Isn't it odd that Natasha sounds about 20 years older than the rest of them? She sounds like somebody's mum that's walked in, I think. She doesn't sound... But then when you think that, you know, Tom's nearly 30-something and he's still acting like a bloody 19-year-old, I think of him as a 19-year-old because, you know, he just comes across as so immature and so giddy and daft, I think. I don't know.
And somewhat enthusiastic. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I was kind of thinking a couple of days ago, how much of any scene is truly to push a plot on and how much of it is kind of character enhancement.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of stuck with the whole Hannah and Natasha thing, especially with that as a scene, because is this just to get Tom to move out? Because in terms of Hannah's, yes, Hannah had some level of irritation and frustration and kind of, oh, she's here in my house and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And then the whole nonsense thing about the toaster. But you struggle because all I want is the character stuff. And I've said this time and time again, I don't want the stories actually to go anywhere.
No.
Meaningful.
No.
All right. But I did find that episode peculiarly top heavy with characters which we don't care about, which made it really unsatisfying to listen to. And I contrast that with the twitching episode about 3 years ago. You know, I care not about, you know, bird watching. I can't stand it is somewhat overstating. It's just not for me. But I could listen to those characters, to Jimmis and to Robert Snell all day long.
Oh. Oh. That's not Hank. You're not in Hank's house.
No. I'm in Ledley's house. No. Ledley is a chocolate brown lab and he's utterly lovely. He's the nicest creature in this house, as I say frequently. And this household includes my daughter and son. And he's just a total joy, that dog. And he just lets out little barks just to let you know that he's still alive. And, and his hip is just not great. So he frequently slides across the kitchen room floor. If he does like a little, I'm going to say a sharp turn. Leddy doesn't do anything sharply. You know, he gracefully turns, but still his back leg just like loses all purchase with the ground and like flies out at an uncomfortable angle and stuff. But he's a beautiful soul. And there's a gentleman downstairs in the kitchen who's doing something to the microwave, putting it up on the wall or something or another. So, yes.
Right.
That's what Ledley's little barks are to say. Oh. You know, he's obviously just encouraging the workman in his work and keeping
Ledley,
a right.
That's a really interesting name.
Well, his previous owners used to live in North London in Tottenham. And when he was a little puppy, Ledley King was the captain of Tottenham. So he was laid off to the Tottenham, Tottenham captain. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, but now he is a bit of an old dog. And yes, but he's lovely. Right, now, shall we dispense with the dog talk and have some listener chat?
Yes.
All right, then.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
All right, shall we go to America?
Oh, yes.
Hello, everyone at Dumpty Dum. This is Master Miles, somewhere in upstate New York. I have a plot prediction for this week, which is that Tom and Natasha, after whatever drama they go through with Hannah and anything else that comes along, will wind up together. And I have reasons for this. Hannah is headstrong. She makes Tom act like an idiot, and she's Welsh. In other words, she is everything that Pat was when she came on the scene with Tony. So like father, like son there. Meanwhile, somebody has bought Home Farm. I think it's Peggy. Clearly, they're not going anywhere. Someone's bought it so that they can stay there. But it does raise an interesting problem about Peggy's will. A few years ago, didn't she leave everything to Tom and Helen, and then Tony pitched a fit, and so it sounded like she went back and changed her will, but I don't think we know who's getting everything now. So wouldn't it be odd if Home Farm eventually winds up in the hands of the aforementioned Tom and Natasha? We'll have to wait a while on that one, I expect. They're not killing Peggy off anytime soon. I think Joe Grundy will go first. Anyway, over at Lower Loxley, I really hate to see what's going on with Lily. I'm a professorial type myself, and to see a young woman give up her university education because she's not happy with her lousy boyfriend makes me sad. Russ is wonderful to hate. I want to see more of Russ. I want to see Lily go back to Manchester and walk all over him. But I don't want to see her give up on her university education to help out Elizabeth, whose current nervous breakdown is rivaling Helen Titchener levels of misery, and I'm tired of seeing it. All right, I have more on Canterbury Tales, but I'll save that for next week. For now, bye-bye.
Bye.
He's got an amazing voice.
He has. I sat next to him when we had the dinner in New York, and he's lovely. He's a very nice man.
And why doesn't he know where he is in upstate New York?
I don't know.
If he doesn't
know.
Maybe
he's run away from home. He's been kidnapped. Send us a message, Master Miles, and we'll come and rescue you should you need it. I'm sure you don't.
I do have Helen Titchener tedium, but this is well documented. So I'm not going to say I agree with you, Master Miles, but like I utterly, thoroughly concur. Moving on from that. What else did he talk about, Arlus?
That Peggy's will. That's very interesting. That Natasha will end up with Will because Welsh and headstrong and like Pat, etc. Not Will, sorry. Tom. And then somehow they'll sort of end up with, if Peggy's bought Home Farm, then that means that the kind of the whole inheritance thing just staggers on, doesn't it, for another 20 years. Interesting.
Very, very interesting, sir.
When do you think that? So you still think that the surprise guest that they're talking about, or it's not a surprise guest, it's somebody returns. I don't think that the somebody returning is going to be anything to do with Home Farm. I think the somebody returning is going to be Lexi, who comes back. Roy asks her to marry him and she says yes.
Well, funnily enough, in our little bit of last week in Ambridge chat, I thought that. Because there's always some Christmas, New Year, little romantic turn, isn't there? A storyline gets
it's
ended.
It's usually somebody falling in love during the Christmas play and then getting it together, isn't it? But everybody in the Christmas play...
When's the last time that actually happened? When two characters fell in love?
It was Fallon and Harrison, wasn't it?
Did they fall in love during the... Oh, yes. No, they were... He was chasing her down for some time before. She kept on saying no. Yeah. And then...
Chasing her down? She's not a bloody gazelle. Jesus.
Well, that's what... That's what our goddess Diva was kind of saying. They're like, hence the whole harassment burns. He was chasing her down. He's harassing her. Anyway, you are right. But the, as I said before, there is generally some storyline which gets neatly wrapped up in that dreadful tradition, which is the Ambridge Christmas Panto. So maybe it's that. And it's so cheesy. If that was to happen, I would vomit all over my radio player. So I hope that
there's a lot of idle threats going on today. You said if Brian leaves, you're going to stop listening. Mm-hmm. And at some point he is going to leave because he's not immortal. And you've also said that if Lexi comes back and is proposed to by Roy, you will vomit all over your radio, which I also don't think is very likely. Plus, also quite dangerous for you on the radio.
Okay, I might be exaggerating just a smidgen, right?
Yes.
But if Brian goes, it needs to be done with such grace because there isn't even another character like him at all.
No.
But you don't get enough of Jim. Jim fundamentally is a peripheral character, isn't he?
Mm.
You know, he's there just to prop up his son, to do the pub quiz, and put in the odd Latin phrase. That's Jimus, right?
Yeah.
Criminally underserved, but that's it, right?
Yeah,
we need someone who can step up to center stage, and I don't know who the hell that is. You know, it's not what's his face, Lillian's bit.
Oh God, no.
There you go.
No, you're right.
Mm.
Yep.
So we can't have him go. So
no. No.
Right. Now, I like it when you say that I'm right.
Now. Yeah. I know you do. All right. I do it every now and again just to keep me up.
let's stay in New York State, shall we?
Hello, everyone. It's New York Nigel here, feeling really guilty for not calling in more often. I'm as thin on the ground as Vicar Allen at Christmas. So who bought Home Farm? I'd love it to be Debbie. That was genius, Royfield. Could it be Bernie Carvajal? Be fun to have a tacky footballer and wife on the scene, make a change from the bankers and the rich farmers. Could it be one of the Sœurs? They'd know what to do with boiling water tap and those small bone of devices appliance drawers, and they'd certainly not be knocking up a few flapjacks in the double oven. Is it a racehorse consortium from Costa Rica who'll turn it into a Bijou Hotel de Passage, sort of Ambridge knocking shop? Maybe it's Hazel Woolley. Jack's probate might have come through, not that we'd ever know. Hazel has sort of melted away like the Wicked Witch of the West. Mm. Or East? Or is it Peggy? Or has she blown all her wad on Auntie Cardboard? And speaking of Auntie Cardboard, where is she going to spend Christmas? A little moulded tray of turkey and stuffing on the little thing that they have in the home? Or is she going to spoil other people's Christmas by telling everyone not to bother with her? She'd be happy with dry toast and a bit of gravy. But I dislike Tom more. Tom is from an old, respectable family. He's got land, house, business. He can shag who he wants for lots of reasons. But Hannah's just arrived. Wouldn't anyone who got to Ambridge, nice or not, try to make inroads into the little corner that they've ended up in? And thanks, Royfield. I ascribe my French accent to have listened to the Smedic accent for years of my life. You'd speak French with an impeccable accent because you go up at the end of the sentence.
Oh, I will miss the end of your sentence, sir. All I ever do is repeat myself, Arloos. But apart from the fact that I love that man, Mr. New York Nigel.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand how a man of the cloth can be such a bitch. I really don't. It is rather deliciously glorious, but my God.
It's in the grand tradition of E.F. Benson.
Oh, more power to you, sir. Well done.
Absolutely.
That line about Auntie Chris just wanting, you know, a bit of dry toast.
Ruin everyone
gravy.
Else's Christmas by refusing to have a nice time. No, I'll be all right. You just leave me here.
Leave me here with me dry toast and gravy. Don't mind me.
And when he said the stuffing on a moulded tray, I know exactly what he means. Like school dinners, plonk. Yes. But what's happened about Hilda? Because the last we heard, Peggy was saying she was going to get a shot of Hilda, wasn't she? Because Auntie Cardboard said, I can't come back because of Hilda rushing around. And she said, you're quite right. I will get rid of Hilda. But then we haven't heard anything else.
No, we haven't. But she's not.
Maybe they're roasting Hilda for Christmas. Good.
No. Right. Now, right. Let's have a little touch. We're very New York heavy with our callers this week.
I know. We've had a rash of them. They must have all meeten up, haven't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Met up.
Right. But you know what? Instead, let's end up with New York. And in between, let's have a little touch of our Kitty.
Hello, it's Kitty. I rang the week before last and it was decided that I was a Henry, but I don't think that's right, because the first thing I could remember was Nigel falling off the roof, but that was the first big storyline I could remember. But actually I remember the whole storyline with Jennifer and Brian and Rory and Siobhan and all that stuff, and I was a bit confused because I didn't quite understand the gravity of it at the time, because I'd only just started listening. So maybe I'm a Rory, I really don't know. I looked for that spreadsheet type thing that is supposed to be on your website and I couldn't find it anywhere, so maybe I'm a Rory. Anyway, I wanted to ring again. Not really because of the week, because it is a bit boring at the moment. There's far too much of Helen and Tom and all that for my liking, because they are the most annoying characters, in my opinion. But yeah, it's a pretty boring week. I really just wanted to say hello to Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
You. Was that it? Did she just ring in to say it?
What a fantastic end.
Well, hello, Kitty, as they say. I think we'll find that's been done, but anyway.
Right. shall we move on then? We said we're going to end up in New York, so let's...
Before we do, can I have a wee, please?
Oh, gosh.
I need to go to have a wee. Thank you very much.
All right.
Gather myself after Kitty said hello to me. Feeling a bit overcome now.
Right. We said we were going to, we were New York heavy. And, let's continue in that wonderful tradition.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Millie Bell, Yoko Bear, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, wishing a happy Hanukkah to all those who celebrated this holiday along with me. Just wondering if there's ever been a Jewish resident of Ambridge. Archer's historians, please start researching the annals. Mm. We like to eat sweet fried things during Hanukkah, such as jelly donuts, although I've sworn them off. But that segues into the great Pop-Tart controversy in the house of Tom, Johnny, and Anne. I must say, Natasha is growing on me as a character. I thought she was very sincere in her apology about breaking the toaster. And despite being a very busy businesswoman, as Johnny likened her to Mark Zuckerberg, she found the time to buy a new toaster. In contrast, Hannah is sarcastic and oh so judgmental. Once again, I'll reference Johnny here, who remarked, when it comes to late night snacks, I don't judge. But we've seen that Hannah does judge all the time, it seems, and never lets her judgments go. I think this reflects some deep insecurities that Hannah must have. Currently, I give Hannah an 8 on the Witherspoon scale of dislike. And Tom, you're almost 38 years old, too old to have roommates. So it's a good idea to get your own place. You know, Tom was born in 1981, so what generation does that make him? I did some research and found that he's on the cusp. Some consider those born in 1981 to be the first of the millennials, and others consider that year to be among the last of the Gen Xers. I even read of a new category for that birth cohort, the Xennials. Anyway, who really cares? Tom, move out, and good luck in your relationship with Natasha. I really hope it works. Talk to you all soon.
Tom, strictly speaking, Tom shouldn't have any flatmate, should he? He's got enough financial wear for all, and he lives in the country. There's no reason for him to be bunked up with people. There isn't.
Well, living in the country isn't anything to do with it, really. I mean, there's just a lack of accommodation. I mean, he could live in that house by himself, but I think after the Kirsty thing, he kind of needed freedom, but he also, you know, he needed to not be living at Bridge Farm, but he also needed some allies, I think. He needed to feel not on his own.
Yeah, and it did make sense, him and Johnny living together when Johnny kind of came to Ambridge. That was the whole thing, wasn't it? They were going to, you know, uncle and nephew living together. I suppose with my urban bias, I said the countryside because I imagine, because I don't imagine there to be a housing crisis in the countryside, but there is. You know, there absolutely is.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. Yes, no. It's just, and I tell you, over in the States, you know, 50-year-olds have flatmates and had the same flatmates for like 20 plus years.
Yeah.
You know, it's not at all unusual.
No.
You know, over there. You know, it really
is. I think we have got a very skewed idea in Britain. We have got a very skewed idea of our expectations of, you know, because this generation, our children, I don't know that they're ever going to be able to have their own property or whether they will always rent or always share.
No, true. We have to move our expectations of what defines adulthood away from actually owning property.
Yeah.
And but then also then there needs to be a new kind of financial, I'm going to say dividend is the wrong word, but the one thing about owning property is that then when you come to the end of your working life or before it, then you've got that place paid off, and it then helps with your retirement massively. But with declining rates of home ownership, you know what, let's not talk about all of that, Luce.
The sign of adulthood is dry cleaning.
That's just the sign that you've got, it's Christmas season and you need to take your suit or your posh dress to the cleaners for that. That's all that means.
No, but it's dry cleaning. It's when you are grown up enough to have clothes that need dry cleaning and you've remembered to drop them off and pick them up, then that shows you're an adult. That's much more adulty than buying a house or owning a house. Yes.
You know what? I feel a real segue coming on here, but I'm going to resist the urge to segue and go, all right then, Luce, right? If that's what you want to say, right? On that note...
Well done. Fight it, Roy.
Yes, I've fought that urge and I've won. Now, let's have a little bit of a break, everybody, and come back the other side with a touch of the Millie Bells.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good day, everyone. This week we have been posting up the advent calendar that was put together by the very talented Stuart Arundale. And he's done an advent calendar for us as he used to a long time ago when Headley ran the Archer's page. And this one is based on the Canterbury Tales a la Ambridge. So it's worth having a look at those. Very clever, very funny. He's listening very carefully to the story to see what he can put together for us. So thank you to Stuart. We also had a great little thread because we hear so much about food and kitchen appliances in the Archers that we were wondering whether there could be a spin-off Archers cooking show. So what would it be called and who should host it? And Gillian Corrigan said Tuna Bake Off. And Ben Johnson said Chilies and Willies by Susan Carter. Stephen Bowden said the Great British Hide the Sausage Show presented by Tom Archer. Paul Schler said Ian and Jill as judges, which would be great. Helen and Will as hosts, which would be terrible. Paul Green said a show called What Else Can Pat Add Cinnamon To? And Natasha will be the makeup artist. Ruth Simpson suggested How to Get Blood of the Quarry Tiles and Other Helpful Hints, presented by Helen Archer. Chris Smith said, At Home with Jenny. Oh, no. And Stephen Botley said, or Jill could host How Clean Is Your Fridge or Fridges. Joanne Smith also suggested the Grab a Sandwich Show with a different guest chef each week, featuring meals that can be eaten while driving a combine. Look, there was so... Oh, no, hang on, I found one more that was done by Ruth Archer. Strictly Burnt Oven Chips with Ruth Archer. Look, there's loads in that vein. I absolutely suggest that you get there and have a look. We had a few guest posts this week, which was absolutely awesome. Esther Kurland had a mini plot prediction about whether Russ would actually hang about alone in a uni town, and that generated some conversation. Please get involved in that. And Caroline Wally McCann said, Pop-Tarts do not break toasters, at least not in the USA. Kicking a toaster across the room and then running it over with my kid's Hoover board, that would break it. Next time do that, Natasha. And some people agreed with her and some said, actually have done the same thing myself. We also had a post from Janice Betson who said that she didn't think it was a good idea for Helen to go to France, especially on her own at the moment. A colleague of mine popped over to Saint-Malo last weekend and he said there were protests going on even there and it was expected to be even worse. So she wondered whether something appropriate would be inserted or even if it was just Tony telling her to be careful. And then we also discussed the brilliant story that was the episode, which was a story arc within a story. So that was the one at the rehearsal. And and that ended with a cliffhanger. And we wondered whether everybody was loving Linda again. Witherspoon says, no, not at all. And I'm generally a fan. Even more selfish, her self-esteem is totally wrapped up in the show, and I'm glad David is showing some backbone. Actually, I thought he was acting out of character. He's not. He doesn't usually show any backbone. Valerie Bailey said no, she's completely bound up in what she wants and has no concept of anyone else's needs. Every year she becomes this self-absorbed dictator, all goes wrong, and then it's a triumph. Surely the script writers could take a different route for once. Linda is always one-dimensional in December, then more nuanced for the rest of the year. And Lydon said, I always love Linda, but Penelope Matheson said, no, I don't. And Gretchen Anthony said, you know, today I actually said out loud for the first time ever, poor Linda. And Catherine Shorrock said, I still dislike her intensely. However, some satisfaction is to be derived by witnessing a horrid person having a bad day too. Linda's selfish, overbearing and pretentious. So fantastic discussions again this week. We do love having you with us. Yoko Bear will be in charge next week. Jump in, have a look at Witherspoon's Saturday non-Archers post. You can have a look at the advent calendar while you are there, or you can talk to Yoko Bear next week. So until I speak to you again, I say to you, hooroo.
Hooroo.
Oh, Luce, before you do your tweets of the week, I've got to say... Yes. Kitty couldn't find the article on the website. I'm going to put a little thing over on the right-hand side of the homepage so everyone can find it. So sorry about that, Kitty. And there was something else I was going to say, then I've forgotten. So why don't you do the tweets of the week, then I'll remember.
Okay. D Daily. Don't be nice to her, Lee. She'll only start talking to you about bloody cheese. Apple Android app, who is sort of deserves another mention for this. She has created, you know, Hootie Jill.
Yes.
At Christmas time, she is now called the Christmas Hooter Nanny, which is excellent. Brilliant. Anyway.
And that's not tweet of the week.
Android app. No. Apple Android app said, Dan's knowledge of military strategy came in useful in avoiding the pincer movement that is Christmas at Brookfield. Samantha Dean said, Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts? She is so Penny Hassett. Marmaduke said, when Ben murders Josh, the ancient triangle will be complete and Lakey Hill will rise again. And Helen 121, everyone was talking about who possibly may have bought Home Farm. And she just put, I'm really hoping for George and Amal Clooney. I just love that idea.
No, that's lovely. Oh, I've remembered.
Oh, yes. What?
Headley. Our Kathy Perks. We had a little we had a little chat yesterday, and she's going to do her and I are going to do a little review of the last year in Ambridge Christmas little dumdy dum thing, which I will put on the general feed for everybody. It will be our gift to you. It won't be behind the paywall. She said she'd love to do it. And yes, and next year she would like to come up to the Archers weekend in Birmingham and field questions, and we'll call it a lunch with Kathy, a lunch with our Headley. She said she'd love to do that, and she's all thumbs up for all things dum-de-dum.
Ah.
Should we say goodbye now?
Yes.
All right, then.
I feel we should.
Okay, so dumdydum.com, folks. It's our website. Go there. It's got some stuff on there which you can do, and it's awesome. And I'm not looking at the script because I'm an arse. And then,
you sound so knackered.
Oh, I know. I've run out of Vavavoom. I really have. I really need like a proper 24-hour sleep, I think, and then to get myself down the gym just to wake my whole body up. But like, yeah. So, and then, folks, there's Patreon. So if you want to go and support our endeavour, you can go onto patreon.com and give us some moolah. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, there's a funny bleep. All right.
Sorry.
No, it probably wasn't you, but there was a bleep. And give us some moolah. And that's only like $2 per show. Though the way that the pound is crashing, right, I don't know what that means. But, like, anyway, no. Bad things probably.
Yeah. Anyway. We're all going to hell in a handcart, so give us your money now. There we go.
That's no, no. Bright, sunny uplands of us being an independent sovereign nation again, Arlus. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Project Fear. Stop it. Oh. There was one of the funniest things I heard. Right. I can't remember where the heck this was now. Somebody was saying that we all just need to have a good British Christmas. Did you hear this? We need to have a good British Christmas. Which somebody replied, you do know that the tree's German. St. Nicholas is Czech /Turkish and has deconstructed the whole thing. You know, Turkey's from North America. There ain't nothing British about it.
The tree's because of the German king.
Prince Albert and whatever. Her answer, stop with that Project Fear. Oh, God's sake. You know, it has to be said. It has to be said. So obviously I listen to podcasts 24/7. I listen to the Daily off and on, which is the New York Times one, which can be very good. And sometimes you feel like they're just slightly less like treading water. And today's was like them trying to understand Brexit. The amount of American podcasts in the last couple of days, people saying, this Brexit thing, what the hell is going on? And it doesn't matter. And they have these correspondents embedded in London. And they just go, I just don't know. Well, I don't know. People just said, I've been here like for 10 years in this country. Brexit's in 2.5 years. I speak to people every day. I have no idea, you know. And my God. We are so looking like a laughing stock.
I know.
You know, it's just, I saw this morning, I really don't like Piers Morgan, but I know nobody does. No. But it is instructive for me just to feel like I'm still part of the, you know, I'm still watching a little bit of UK culture to watch Good Morning, This Morning, I don't know. And you watch the little clips on YouTube. And there was... Piers Morgan with Nigel Farage, Alistair Campbell and Dominic Grieve. And that is just an encapsulation of how, excuse the French, fucked we all are, isn't it? Alistair Campbell's just shaking his head. You know, there's Nigel Farage blithely just shouting, leave means leave. Right. You know, and then there's the one politician out the lot.
Nigel, who let you in? You're not even in a party anymore. And this is it. And that
buffoon keeps on saying, the political elite, the political elite. And Alice Campbell says, you are a politician. You're part of the elite. No, I'm not. I'm a businessman. I'm just even like, oh, God's sake. Anyway, you know what, folks? If you've got any feelings about Brexit and how it might impact on the Archers, why don't you use SpeakPipe and call in? And the number you can call us in on is 0203 0313 105 via a phone, or use SpeakPipe on our website. And sorry for that little brief distraction.
I want to do another one quickly.
Okay, come on.
You know, you said your favourite thing was the woman saying Project Fear about Christmas. Mm-hmm. Somebody tweeted today, and I've forgotten her name, but she got about 1 billion retweets. Someone said... Theresa May is struggling on like a man who's lost his erection and says, give me another few minutes.
That is good. I am just on that note, because I've kind of stopped.
What note? Are we not going to talk about impotence, are you?
Well, that's another thing staring me in the face at the age I am now. But anyway, it'll happen sooner rather than later. But I've kind of...
Well, no, I think you'll find it's later rather than sooner. But anyway, never
mind. Well done. Well done, you. I've kind of stopped doing my Friday 15s and stuff. However, I just put them out ad hoc now. I interviewed a prostitute last week, and it's up on my feed. And I think it's a very good interview. So she's a very proud sex worker. She feels absolutely no shame in saying, I am a prostitute. She talks about the relationship she has with a mother and a father and how they feel about what she does. And also, she just says, I love my work. I adore it. You know, and she sees it as very therapeutic, but also she wholeheartedly embraces everything to do with that lifestyle and talks about wanting to pay taxes, openly, legitimately.
Yeah.
So listen to Amelia on Friday talk about how she ended up being a sex worker. So that's that. Now, Luce, this show was born out of... social media, specifically Twitter. And on Twitter, you can find us where we are at DumDeeDum. Lucy is at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And me, Mr. Royfield, can be found at Royfield. And of course, there is Robert at Naked Fingers. And there's Kerry Warbis at Kerry Warbis. Facebook is where you'll find Millie Bell with a spoon and our yokel bear. And they're a lovely threesome. And just whilst we've been doing the show, I've been seeing the message go backwards and forwards with them, trying to organise with each other. Who's going to do what recordings over Christmas? They're utter stalwarts, members of the show. And we thank and salute them for all their sterling efforts to be part of they're part of the DumDeeDum family. So go to Facebook if you want to hang out with them. Luce, we've done a touch of Brexit. We've had a bit of dog talk. What else can we just end on?
I don't know.
You
I
haven't think... watched Kings, have you?
No, I haven't watched anything.
No, well, that's not true, is it, Lucy?
What have I watched?
I don't know what you have or haven't watched, but you have watched something in the last week. And the whole point of this little sign-off isn't to talk about TV. It could be, like, something, you know, philosophical. It could be a cake you've baked and it was just an awesome cake. I don't know. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Not really, because I'm moving immediately after.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm moving house. So I'm kind of just thinking about all the stuff that will be coming into the house that has then got to be either taken out of the house again or wrapped up and sent to the new house, or you know what I mean. It's just a lot of stuff with Christmas, isn't there? Stuff, stuff, stuff.
Nah. I hear that completely. There was a period, and I might have mentioned this before, but there's a period between I left home, I'm going to say 1987, and between 1987 and 1999, I moved about 25 times because I was...
My God, were the police after you?
Something like that. You know, there was Sting and Stuart Copeland chasing me. Anyway, musical joke there, musical joke. So, no, because I was a student...
One for the teenagers.
Well done. And I was a student. And, you know, you move from place to place. And then after that, then I had my shop and then the shop moved and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, and nobody likes moving, but I think I have a distaste more than most. And I'll never forget, I'm moving to this place and I was on the third floor and I had this cabinet, this sideboard, sofa that needed to be moved. And I just stopped, like 20 years ago, I stopped physically moving. I just said, you know what? I'll pay somebody, a company, to box everything up.
Yeah.
And then just move it. And that sight of that sweaty man and his assistant moving my settee around, in effect, six flights of stairs. Right.
Oh, I bet they hated you.
but they knew what they were. They were.
Yeah.
It was the best £50 tip I ever gave, Lucy. Oh, because you know what? Yeah. Not fucking me. right? That's all, yeah. You know. And yeah. That man sweated so much. The sweat came through his T-shirt, his overalls, right, and whatever. And like at the turn of every flight of stairs, had to put it down. And all right, now, so how are we going to do this? And it's just like, you know, I went, I hate moving. So I feel you, sister. I feel you.
But you do not. But I think
go.
The last time we moved, we did the same thing. We had packers, and the actual guy. No, we didn't have packers last time. I did it, or we did it. But the guys that came before were a company from Essex who we're going to use again, and they are half of a rugby team in Essex. So they are all about 8'6". And it's a struggle for them to get through the doorways, never mind the bloody sofas. And they're absolutely massive. And they like went, one of them went casually out with my armchair over his shoulder. Just, they're huge. They're just really, they're all like these, yeah, absolutely sick. The smallest one was about 6'8", I think. And they just sort of storm the house like kind of American footballers, heave all this stuff out, and the house is stripped. They're like enormous locusts. It's great. So we're having them again.
Yeah, no, you are right. They just to point out the distinction between the packers and the removers and stuff. And yeah,
yes,
and
no, these are the rugby players with the removers.
Yeah.
I don't know who the packers are going to be this
but,
time.
You know, I just never do a bloody thing. I don't lift a finger, and then I tip heavily afterwards because it's a horrendous job. But
you know, they like that more than you getting in the way.
No, it's true.
You know, the last thing they want is you pottering around going, I'll get this. Oh, no, actually, it's a bit heavier than I thought. Can someone else? It's just really irritating.
And anyway, somebody on the Twitters says, why can't women just do dum-de-dum? So when are you going to do it?
Yes, I saw that.
So when are you going to do it?
Yes, I'll do it with Kerry.
Awesome. What, next week?
But no.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.